Good morning. Let's slowly get going with the class. Last time I forgot to leave the microphone. So today we will finish more like the principles of how the cache works. So 2+, that's winning. We're gonna look at the last part of writing, doing this exercise, and then start the performance aspect. So understand how well does a cache work? How well does it perform? And what are some ways that we can optimize or debug or architect a cache that is more suitable for the applications or the architecture that we have in mind? So last time, we started with direct mapped, and then we show how, well, there is an issue with direct map, there is this conflict, and really having at least two ways associative cache already helps with, you know, some of the more trivial conflicts. We looked at associativity in general, E-way associate, and then fully associate, fully associative, when we have one set and then all the tags are in one set. So the number of set index bits is 0, and the address is just tags and offset. So that was the fully associative cache. And you know, we'll keep reminding each other what those mean. Then when we have associative or fully associative, we really have to have a replacement policy, on which way are we going to override if we have to override to make space for a new value. So when we talked about FIFO, random, and least recently used policies. And then for least recently used, we spoke about how if we have two way, it's easy. We have just one bit, and we always just set the bit to the different value. But when we have more ways, meaning, for example, fully associative, if we go all the way there, then we have to keep an order of usage order, right? And that doesn't translate to a very small circuit in hardware. Then we could have an approximated way. And then we started with writing, and that's what I want to converge into, to basically finish today with that exercise with writing. And when we write to the cache, if it's a hit, it's great. If it's not, then you know we might have to talk to the memory. So we spoke about these four different things, these two strategies that are mix and match, actually. So write through versus write back. We spoke about that. Do any of you remember what was write through and write back? Yeah.
Write through is updating the line, and then every time you update the cache, so write back is, you know, update in the memory.
Yeah. That's a very good way to say it. So write through, I'll repeat that, is whenever we write to the cache, we also write to the memory. So the value in the memory will always actually be consistent with the value in the cache. So we write all the way through. So we write the value in level one cache, but also in level two, in level three, and in the memory. While write back, we only write to the cache and we mark it dirty. And if it ever has to be overwritten by a replacement policy action, then we have to write it all the way into the memory so that we don't lose the value. And then write allocate versus no allocate. Anyone remember what those were? Write allocate versus write no allocate. Yeah,
Tyler. Does it have something to do with 30-bit?
Not. It does. Okay, there is. Wait. So. Not necessarily. I would say not necessarily. Does it have something to do with dirty bits? Write allocate versus no allocate. Imagine this situation where the processor needs to write, say, one byte into the memory, which is, you know, cache or anything, right? Memory hierarchy. But the block in the cache is more bytes. It's, for example, 64 bytes. So if we're only writing one byte, do we really want? And let's say we are in a miss state, so that whole block is not in the cache. Do we really want to fetch that block from the memory into the cache and then update that one byte? Or do we want to just say, well, we're in a miss state, you know what? Let's just write it directly to memory and not have it in the cache, skip the cache altogether. So write no allocate means that we don't really allocate that value into the cache, while wrote allocate is we will allocate it in the cache. Let me, because I see a few confused faces. CPU here, that's just called processor. And then cache, level one or anything, cache, and then memory, right? So we want to write a memory that is address, say F12. And we want to write to that. And we don't have it in cache. We look in the cache, the tag is not there, doesn't exist. So we have two options. One is just write it to the memory directly. No, we don't have it in the cache, so we can't really write it in the cache. We don't have a copy, we don't have that tag. If we want to write it in the cache, no, we can't really just manufacture that tag out of the blue with, you know, just partial value and then nothing else correct, right? And I guess we could that, but I don't know if it's such a technique. But you know, one way we can do is just write it directly to memory and just skip the cache altogether. That would be write no allocate. But then if you want to read that value, again, well, you have to fetch it. It's not in the cache. We bypass the cache. So that's the trade-off. We skip the cache, but then it's not in the cache. We cannot read it again. And then the other option is write allocate. So what would that consist of? Well, step one, bring it from memory into the cache. So now we have it there. And then step two, write that particular byte. And now that we wrote it, we mark it dirty. So the dirty bit will be one. And you know, we're done. But now if we want to read that value, we have it in the cache. And we can have a cache hit if we want to read it again. So that was the write allocate versus no allocate. Well, and we stopped at this exercise. We have a cache here. A two-way set associative. Each block has two bytes, so block size is two. And it has this least recently used replacement policy. And then we have these other two principles, write allocate and write back. So not write through, write back, and we do write allocate. And then the question is, for each of these, and they are independent, perform alone. So one does not affect the other one, right? For each of these, do we need to A, read a value from memory, B, write a value to memory, or both? So the block size is 2 bytes. So 2 to the B, it's 2, so B is 1. And similarly for a number of sets, we have only 1 bit. Right there. So then our set bit will be this one, right? Our set index bit. And when we're writing 1 byte to value 33, we see, oh, well, we're writing in set one, which is this set here. We can check now the tag. Do we have it there? So the tag is all these remaining bits. 001100. Turns out we have it there, 001100. So since the value is there, we have a hit. And the value has this dirty bit, but that's fine. We're writing to it. So we will just update byte 33, that byte right there. We will update it with a certain value. And you know, we can mark dirty again, which is already dirty, so we can set 1 again to 1, which is fine. And possibly we will be setting this 1 now to 0 because well, we just used that that particular value, that particular way. So now the other one should be marked as not least recently used. So that means that we just write and there is no access to memory, neither a write nor a read to the from the cache to the memory, right? So. No read, no write. And that's what we have there. Then the next one is we read one byte from memory 52, which again is tag 1. I'm going to use a different color now. Say orange. So again, we have this tag value 1. Set value, set index value 1. So again, we are going to be in this set here. And we look at the tag. Tag is 01010100. And we compare it 011 there, we compare it here, also not the same. Looks like we have a miss, right? We don't have that tag in our cache, so that value is not there. So it looks like we have to fetch it from memory. We're doing a read, we don't have it in the cache, so we have to fetch from memory. So now the decision is, where do we put it? What is the replacement policy? And it's performed alone, so that value we just replaced there doesn't count. This LRU, we consider it as a 1, meaning that we will be replacing this lane. Performed alone, right? We just replaced that lane, we fetch data from memory, we override the MEM32 and MEM33 values with MEM52 and 53. Yeah, because this is 0, right? So that's 0, and then the next one will be 1, so 52 and 53. That's it. So we don't write to memory, cache to memory, we only read from memory, right? So we do have a read and no write. And just to make sure that I was not making a mistake. I did make a mistake. Which mistake did I make? Yes, please.
The bit for 1333 is dirty.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So the dirty bit is 1. And if I would do what I just did, just do a read, I would override that value and lose it forever. And that's bad, right? So we have a dirty bit, so first thing we have to do is make sure that that value goes into the memory. So we will have a write. So first we will actually write, and then we will read. Yes, please.
Why are we looking at the write block instead of the left block? Because the LRU is 0. That's the
So it's actually 1. So this is 1. Treat that as 1. It's 1 because the operations are performed alone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So the previous write didn't affect. Yeah. Go ahead.
This was already addressed yesterday, but could you re-explain what the dirty bit is for?
The dirty bit, yes.
Yeah, what does the dirty bit do?
What is the dirty bit? So our policy is write back, right? What does that mean? It means that the processor writes to the cache and the value from the cache is not written into the main memory or into the next level of cache. So it's only there in that cache. So we want to mark that, hey, this value is only here. So in case the replacement policy needs to use that block, that specific location in the cache, we want to make sure that before we overwrite it, we write it to the remaining memory hierarchy, and then we can overwrite it. Otherwise, we lose the data. So that value, 32 and 33, if I would read from address 52 on top, I would write on top of it, that value is only here in this cache level. It's nowhere else. So I would just delete it. I would overwrite it, and it would disappear. I wouldn't know what that value is. And if I would read from address 32 and 33 from the memory, again, it would have to come from memory, I would read the previous values. So we don't want to lose the value. So that's why we have to mark it as dirty. And since it's marked as dirty, we know we have to do the write back. If it's marked not dirty, then we don't have to do the write back.
So if I'm understanding correctly, the dirty just tells us
that
it's in memory or not?
It tells us that it's not in memory. The dirty being set to 1 tells us it's not in memory. It's only here.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, please.
Could it also mean that the value in cache is just different from the value that's in memory?
Yes. Yes. Perfect. Yes, that's good. It's different and it's the newest. And then we have the third operation. We read one byte from memory 50, which in binary, and I'll use a different color again. Let's go with. So here we have set bit 0. So we're going to be looking at this set. And we have the tag 010100. Doesn't match there, doesn't match here. So it's a miss, it's a read miss. So we have to fetch the data from memory. And we look, where do we fetch? We fetch in lane 0. So we will be having to fetch it on top of this. So we override this block. And it's not dirty, so we don't have to do a write. We only have to do a read. So then we do no write. We do a read. And I guess after that we would update this to 1, right? That value. And that would be it. Just to make sure I got that right. Yes. So the next exercise, we have, well, more or less the same situation, but now our cache has a different write policy. So it's the other two pair. We do a write through, and we do a write no allocate. So we'll perhaps take a few minutes, figure this out, try to solve this. So write through, we write it all the way to memory. Wherever we write it to the cache, we also write it to memory. There is no dirty bit, no dirty bit. And write no allocate. If it's a miss, we just write it to memory. We don't even put it in the cache. Write no allocate. So if it's a miss, don't allocate. Basically. Don't bring the value from memory to cache. Just write it directly to memory. How would that be? Right now, allocate right back. So you will still have a dirty bit. And if it's a hit, then you write to the memory in the cache. And you don't send it all the way to the memory. You keep it only in the cache. While if it's a miss, you don't even bother with the cache. You skip. So if it's a write hit, the tag is somewhere in your cache. You have that block of data, so you can write to it and mark it as dirty. That would be the write back instead of write through. Yeah. Well, that's a good question. Yes, you write it to cache and always synchronize, write it to memory as well, to the, yeah, exactly. You write it to the cache and also to the memory, like you say, memory and cache, yeah. So in this case, you have write no allocate and write through. So then when it's a hit, because of the write no allocate, you know, you actually write it to the cache and also to the memory. But when it's a miss, because of no allocate, you skip the cache.
So if I go with write no allocate, I will never update the cache. Is that correct?
When you write, you will never fetch from the memory before, because you just write to the memory. Yeah.
So the cache will always be the same.
Yeah.
So if it's a hit, I'll just go with cache. If it's not.
If it's a hit, you do update the cache. If it's a miss, you skip.
I mean, how do I update the cache if it's a hit? I don't need to change it if it's a hit.
So it doesn't, if it's a hit, it doesn't cost you anything to update that value in the cache as well. So, so say you want to write to value 41, right? It's there. It's here. So you write to 41 in the cache, and also it will be updated all the way to the memory.
So
and you mark it as there.
Okay, so if it's a write, I can change that.
But that's when you have write the other one, not through. What I said is correct. You don't have to mark it as dirty because, you don't have to mark it as dirty. So you have a hit, so the value is there, you write to that value in the cache, and also it automatically updates on the memory, and that's all. You don't have to mark anything as dirty because it's already updated.
But I would never fetch new things to this.
When you write, no. When you write, you'll never fetch. I know the names maybe don't describe exactly the titles, right now allocate, right through. Maybe are not the most natural names that exactly link, bingo. It doesn't really do the bingo in the mind, but it's not that complicated, really. I think right through is it does do the It does say what it means, right? You write through, so you write through the whole layers. Right now allocate, you write to the memory without bringing it back from, without first bringing it from memory to cache. So don't allocate in the cache. In the interest of time, I say we resume, we get going. So for the first one, I actually don't know up on top of my head the answers. So for the first one, do we have to do a read? Who says yes? Who says no? Read. Write, the first one. Write to the cache. Not to the memory. Write to the memory. Writing a value to the memory. Yeah, okay, perfect. So let's do the first one. So we know that this will be involving this block, right? Because one. And we want to write byte 33. Turns out the tag is there, so we have it. It's a write hit. We have a write through, so we will be updating this value. Memory 33, and additionally we will be writing that value to the memory because we have write through. So we don't have to read anything from memory because we have a hit, and we have also no allocate, so we don't have to read anything, no read, and we just have to write the value to the cache and to the memory. So write, Then for the second one, do we have to do a read? You say yes. No read. No clue. And then do we have to do a write for the second one? To the memory, read from memory. Okay. Let's do it as well. So bit one. Tag that is not in there, we already know that. Oh, wait. I want to use a different color. So keep consistent, use orange. So we have bit one, we're going to be using this set. We don't have that tag in anywhere else, so it's a read miss. So we have to fetch it. We have the LRU bit is telling us that we have to use the way one, so we have to use this block here. We have to replace that block there. Now that block there is not dirty, it's already, it's both in the cache and already in the memory. So we don't have to fetch or to write back anything, we don't have to write it back. We just fetch the data at memory address 52 and we write it in here and then we have it. We fetch 52 and 53. So we will have a read and no write. Questions? Because I didn't see many hands before. Or we go to the next one. So for the next one, we have set zero. And we 010100. We don't have 010 and we don't have that one here, so it's a miss. We want to read from memory byte at address 50. It's a miss. We have to replace the value somewhere, and it tells us where, meaning we have to do it here in this block, the way zero from the two-way set. So we replace that memory 30 and memory 31 with 50 and 51. So we'll have in that 50 and 51. So we have to fetch and that's all. We don't have to write back anything. So again, we have a read and no write. Questions? Yes. Say we have to fetch. No read. Yeah, so we don't have to fetch. Yeah, if it's a miss, exactly like you say. So if we go with write now allocate, do we have to fetch from memory? No. When we write to the cache, if that tag is nowhere in our cache, it's a write miss. So we just skip the cache altogether. We write our bytes to the memory directly, and that's it. Oh, if it's a read, you have to fetch, of course. Okay. Yeah, yeah. So this is only write. It's a write. Policies for write. Yes. Yeah. There is no such thing as read, no allocate. Yeah. Read is always when you need the data, you have to fetch it. Yeah. Yes.
So which policy is the reason why we don't have to write to memory for the second and third for byte
052? These two? It's write through. That policy write through. So if the data would be dirty, we would have to write it, but it's never the case. The data is never dirty. Whenever we write to the cache, because it's write through, we assume it's already also in the memory. And because of that, we don't have to overwrite it, to write back. We don't have to write back the values. Yes, yes, yeah, by looking at the dirty bit, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So one question that you might have is how fast are writes? When we write to the memory, do we have to respect all this DRAM timing? Is the DRAM busy? Is it refreshing and so on? Possibly yes, but one option is to have a write buffer in between. So imagine that you have a very fast, like a FIFO, where the cache writes and then assumes that that's it, it's done. And it takes very little time. You just write to it. That buffer hopefully will never really fill up. If it does, well, then it's busy, so bad luck. But you know, most of the time, that buffer will not be full. So we just write to that buffer, and then the buffer will be writing to the RAM, you know, respecting that other delay. So having a buffer like that, you know, basically what this line says. Write appears to complete immediately when placed in buffer memory, in buffer, and memory can be much slower, but because we have that buffer, it appears to be immediate, to be very fast. That's what that buffer does. So, like us, we have a buffer, we have fast writes to the memory directly. Now, how can we evaluate how fast is memory access time in general? So there is this concept that we're going to be working with a lot called the average memory access time. And really, the formulas here are kind of natural, right? So how much time do we really need on average to write to memory? Well, if it's a hit, then it's the hit time. If it's a miss, then on average is the miss penalty. It's, you know, how long it takes to do the miss penalty. But then we have a lot more, and we always assume that the hit time is part of it. So, you know, miss penalty basically means that on top of hit time, what's the miss penalty? So this is the relationship, right? How fast on average would it take? What is the hit time plus miss penalty times how many misses we have on average, miss rate. Alternatively, we can actually just add the times. So in this case, it would be hit time times hit rate plus miss time times miss rate. And they are just related formulas. They're the same thing. Two ways to write the same thing. But you know, sometimes one is more comfortable than another. So do you find this somewhat natural? You know, average memory access time would be, usually if it's a hit, it's just the hit time. If it's a miss, well, there is more. And then we have this hit rate and miss rate. So hit time plus miss penalty times miss rate, or hit time times hit rate plus miss time times miss rate. That will give us the weighted average. Okay. That's the effective speed of our memory. And let's have a few exercises about that. So one of the caches has 90% hit rate, and the hit time is 2 cycles. And then the penalty when we have a miss is 30 seconds. So the question is, what is the average memory access time? What is this payment? Well, let's take 30 seconds to do that. Freddy? who says it's maybe 4 cycles? 5? 6? Okay, we have a few raised hands at 5. I also got 5. Let's just plug in the numbers and check that. So hit was 2 cycles. Miss penalty was 30. And miss rate would be 100 minus 90, right? So it's 10%. So this is really times 0.1. So we have 2 plus 3, which is 5. 5 cycles. In the other formula, it would be, so hit time is 2 cycles. Hit rate is 0.9. Then miss time. So miss time would be 2 plus 30. And the miss rate would be 0.1. And I believe if you do the math, you also end up with 5. So that miss penalty was 30, but the miss time is actually hit time, because we still check for the hit. And then we realize, oh, we have a hit. So we still consume those 2 cycles. And then we have the other 30 as the miss penalty. So the second part of this question is, suppose we could increase the hit rate by increasing the cache size. But by increasing the cache size, we also increase this hit time to 3. We had it 2 cycles, but now it's 3 cycles. So how much do we have to increase the hit rate for this to not increase this 5 emet number? Basically, what should be our hit rate to still be worthwhile to increase the cache size? That is the question. Yes, take maybe 1 minute to try to compute this. Should we go for it? Need more time? More time? Take out it. So any of you got maybe 91%, 92%, 93%, or 93%, I see a few hands, 94%, 95 maybe, 96. So I see around 93, 94, a few hands. Let's try to solve it together. So what do we know here? We know that our heat time is now 3 cycles. So we have 3. And we want it to be, you know, still like not more than 5 cycles, right? So we want the answer to be kind of less than 5, right? And so instead of 2, now we have 3. And the question is, how much do we have to increase the heat rate? So the penalty was the same, 30 cycles. And then there's our x, right? Our heat rate. So we'll have 5 minus 3, which is 2 over 30. That would be actually the miss rate. Well, that's not the hit rate here, right? This is what we multiply with the miss rate. That's actually the miss rate. So the hit rate would be 1 minus that, so it would be, so rate hit would be 28 over 30, which I think is around 93%. Yes, please.
When you time the 3 cycles of hit case by the hit rate, right? I see.
So I use the first formula, this one, which has hit, miss penalty, and miss rate. And miss penalty is the same, it's 30 cycles. And miss rate is where I want, where what my unknown is. Miss rate or hit rate would be. Yeah. You could, of course, use also this other one. So, you know, it would get a bit more complicated, but hit time would be 3. This would be our unknown, right? Instead of point. And then, we'll have 3 plus 30, so 33 here, and then this will be 1 minus our unknown. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So this AMAT metric actually shows us why it's a very good idea to have levels of cache. So here's another problem where we have 2 levels of cache. And the key idea that the way I see it is, remember, probabilities multiply. So you have a certain miss rate, another miss rate. When they multiply, you end up with an even smaller miss rate. So that seems to be the math that helps us here. At least that's, I think, the high-level intuition. So here's our problem. Suppose we have a level 1 cache with a 3 cycle hit time and 90% hit rate. Quite a good hit rate, right? And then we have a level 2 cache with a longer 10 cycle hit time and 80% hit rate. And you might say, well, why level 2 is a lower hit rate? No, 80, not 90, not 95. Level 2 is usually larger, right? So the reason behind that is the memory accesses that make it to level 2 are not the trivial ones. They are more complicated, meaning they are more random in nature, or there is new data that was never in the cache. So if there was a level 1 miss, there is a higher chance that there will also be a level 2 miss and so on. So that's why this is 80 and not above 90. Okay, and then accessing the main memory has 100 cycle access time. That's a slow one. And our assumption here is that, like before, if we have a miss, we add the hit plus the other time. So the penalty would be the sum of those times, the 3 plus 10, and the 3 plus 10 plus 100. So assume when there is a cache miss, the next level access starts after the hit time. That's just what I said. And access the, yeah, and then the example, 10 plus 3. So then the question is, what is the average memory access time for the level 1 cache? Could you take 2 minutes to try to solve it. Need more time? Well, let's try to make a guess or go for it. So the best time, the hit time was 3 cycles, so let's say 4 cycles. Who has 4? 5, 6, 6, 7, 8. Okay, I also got 6. Good work. So let's try to solve it again together. So, the hit time was 3 plus 10%, so 0.1 miss rate times miss penalty. And miss penalty would be 3. And now it's really 10 cycles when we have a hit rate and it's 100 when we have a miss rate. Well, 10 plus 100. So, 13? I'm a little lost. So let's see. We want the miss rate will be 20%. And then that penalty, well, three plus 10, and then plus 0.2, yeah. That would be the time, the 3 plus 10, if it's a hit in the level 2 cache, but then if it's a miss, it's 0.2 times 3 plus 10 plus 100. I believe that's the math. Am I wrong? Okay. I am confusing something. Anyway. So I got that right. 3 plus 0.1. And then, yeah, we have just the 10. So the hit plus the penalty. Okay. Let's do that again. So we have then the hit plus 0.2 times 100. Yeah. Hopefully I'm not doing it wrong this time. Okay. Good for you guys, you did it better. Yes. Yeah, let me try to do the longer form where we look at the times instead of the penalty, because I think I got lost with the penalties. So the hit time in the first case is 3 times 0.9, right? And then plus, and we have the miss case, which is 0.1 times. Now we will have 3 plus 10, which is 13, times 0.8 plus 3 plus 10 plus 100. Times 0.2. I believe that would be the longer version. So this is the hit time of the level 1 cache, and now we want the miss time of the level 1 cache. The miss time of the level 1 cache is the miss rate times the miss time. And the miss time is again an average of the hit, which is 13 times 0.8, the total time. And then the miss would be the total time, 3 plus 10 plus 100, times the miss rate again, which is 0.2. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They accumulate, yeah. Yeah. And that gives us 6 cycles. And notice that before, so let's compare it with what we would have had without level 2. Let's compare that. So without level 2, so there would be none of this 10 cycle. It would be just 390 and 100. Okay? Let me make that a different color. So with no level 2 cache, we would have hit time being 3 plus 0.1 times 100. So it's 13. 13 cycles on average for memory access. And just by adding level 2 cache, well, not just by, it's a level 2 cache. It takes a bunch of space on the chip, but what I mean is we add level 2 cache, we go from 13 to 6. More than half, right? It shows why this is why we have level 2 cache. This is why if you pick a processor on the market, most probably it will have level 1 and level 2 cache. And level 3, but you know, at least level 2, because it really makes sense, right? The math is in our favor in this case. Let's look a bit more in, just discuss a bit what else is going on. Like, let's try to understand what are these misses that we're dealing with. What are cache misses? And we can categorize them. So there are three categories. Number one is, we call it compulsory. These are the values we access for the first time. They've never been in the cache. And really, you know, no matter what we do to the cache, probably this won't be improved. You know, choose a different placement policy or make your cache larger or more sets, you know, associativity. Doesn't matter. A compulsory miss is a cold access. So not much we can do about it. More or less, it's always there. A conflict, we looked at that, is when we have, our sets are not big or flexible enough, so we were having these conflicts where a value would overwrite a different value, a previous value, and then it would mess up our temporal locality. So if that can be managed if we just have more weights, more associativity. So the definition would be, if a fully associative cache of the same size would do better, then this is definitely a conflict size, a conflict miss. So a miss that would be mitigated by having a fully associative cache is a conflict miss. And then capacity, simply cache was not big enough. So we have fully associative, but we accessed a value so long ago that we kept accessing many other values. We already reached the replacement policy already reached again through all the values and because of the capacity, right? So we ended up overwriting the values and that's basically what a cache being not big enough causing a miss, or a miss that would be mitigated by simply having a larger cache is a capacity type of miss. Make sense? Yeah, go ahead.
So are capacity and conflict kind of related, or?
No, not really, because conflict is really the same size. See, the same size of a cache, we just go, it's in particular about the associativity. If you only increase the associativity and...
I think it's worth pointing out that, of course, if we have a bigger cache, we'll also decrease conflict misses, right?
Yeah, that's...
But you wouldn't say that that's, why that has happened.
Yeah. Yes, please.
So what does it mean by fully associative
cache? Fully associative when... So remember we spoke how a direct mapped is a one-way, and then we have two-way associative, so we have two ways. We could have three, four ways, and if we just go all the way until we only have one set, the number of set indexes would be just one bit. We'll have only one set, and all the blocks are in one set, and all the tags are just in one set. Then we have as many ways as we can have for that cache size. That means fully associative. We can't really add any more ways because then we don't fit in the cache. Okay, so what else can we say about the cache? Let's actually skip this slide. Let's look at optimizations. In this slide, we're thinking about as much as possible that the cache size is constant. So we don't increase the cache size, except the first line actually says increase cash size. So we have several ways or several architectures to modify a cache, and then how does it affect these attributes, miss rate, hit time, and miss penalty. And well, let's see. If we increase the cache size, well, yeah, obviously, this should improve our miss rate. Higher capacity of a cache, our miss rate should be higher just because we have more space in the cache, more values. But it will actually negatively impact our hit time because we have more tags to compare or more addressing circuitry and so on. So just the SRAM circuit would be just larger, so we need more clock cycles to read and write. So our hit time itself will suffer. If we increase associativity, we saw how this it translates to better miss rate, simply by solving conflict misses. Why would this negatively impact hit time? Yep, compare all the tags, more tags to compare. Yep, perfect. And miss penalty, it might impact it negatively, miss penalty, simply because we have to write back into it, and then again, we have to look where do we write it, we have to maybe keep order, there has to be a replacement policy, and all that adds more latency, but it's not that dominant. Now, if we increase block size, so we saw how if we increase block size, we actually add spatial locality. So, ideally, yeah. Let's look at the two extremes. That's why it says depends here. If you have a very very small block size, if we decrease it, then our spatial locality for that one block is lowered. We have less spatial locality. So if we need a neighboring value, we will have a miss. So and the other way around. If we increase it, we have more spatial locality. But if we increase it by a lot, that means we will have fewer blocks because we have the same cache size, right? So we will have either fewer sets. Yeah, we will probably have fewer sets. So if we have a really large block size and the same cache size, we'll have fewer sets. So really, there is a sweet spot for block size. It's not that it's linear. So it probably miss rate first goes down and then at some point just starts going up. Hit time, we have more values to decode. Same for miss penalty, we have block size that's large, we have to decode which value we want, so there is extra circuitry. If we add a secondary cache, we just looked at that usually helps in terms of miss rate, in terms of just performance in general. So that's a good idea. Write allocate, in terms of miss rate, if we have write allocate, then the value is in the cache. So we keep it in the cache. Write no allocate, we bypass the cache. So write allocate has a positive impact on miss rate because we have that value in the cache, so we can read it again, we can use it. And so on. I will make a brief remark on prefetching. So prefetching, in this we guess what the program will use. Now if we can prefetch, if we can guess what the program will use, we solve that problem of, I'm going the wrong direction, we solve the compulsory misses. So if we prefetch, then we fetch in advance, so then the value will be in the cache. That's basically what that means. And we'll speak about that. So cache optimizations by miss type. So we have we spoke about the mistype being that we have either a capacity miss, a conflict, or a cold data, right? Compulsory. So again, if we increase the cache size, of course that's directly correlated to this capacity misses. So we'll have fewer misses here. Similarly, for conflict misses, we will have fewer. Does not affect the compulsory, unless we have prefetching. If we have prefetching, like yours. Associativity, if we increase associativity, doesn't really affect our, doesn't improve our capacity misses, but we saw how that does improve our conflict misses. If we increase block size, so actually this helps with compulsory misses. Why is that the case? Say we increase the block size and all of a sudden loading new values, we see fewer misses. Go for it.
Because kind of like the range of tags, or if there's fewer range of tags, there's a higher chance that you can hit something that has has the same tag as something else.
So like a neighboring, we fetch a value that we want, but also many more neighboring values. So we get some more spatial locality with the, yeah, that's the idea. Questions about this? Yes, please. Associativity. Yeah. So we have a large memory and a small cache. And you could think of it as, that's at least the way I know how to explain associativity. So this in this case, we have no associativity, just a small cache with one way. And this first row would map to the first row in memory. Then, I guess I could use a different color, green. The second row would map to the second row. Now, that cache is much smaller than the memory. So it so happens that the first row needs to also be able to map a different row in the memory, say the one I just marked. So you will have this repeating rows that are more or less equal to this height here. That's the number of sets. And I'll draw that with green as well. Yeah, so now imagine that you do the following. You read this green row, and then you're just kind of unlucky, and what happens is you read this other green row. And then a third time you read this other green row. And then you want to read a second time one of the previous two, doesn't matter which. Well, you read that first row, and the mechanism is so that it goes right there, because the green row is accounted in the cache at that fixed location. When you read the second one, it overwrites that green row. The third time, again, it overwrites. So if you want to read again those two, they're gone. So you have a miss. And if you keep doing this, you always have a miss. So ideally, you would like to have at least one more bucket, one more call, one more place to store. That would be nice, right? Then maybe you would have fewer of these conflicts. So that's what associativity is. So we take that cache that we just had of this height, and we split it into two, into h by two. Same block size, just h by 2. So previously we had, let's say, 0, 1, 2, 3 set index. Now we're going to have only 0 and 1. But they will be longer. This would be set 0, and this would be our set 1. And it would contain two blocks each. So now let's do the same experiment. We read the green line, the green row. Well, so we read the first one, and it goes right here. And then we read the second one, and we don't have to write it in the same location. We can say, oh, let's just take the other one. So that's our replacement policy. You know, it's available. So we put it here. Well, now, if I want to read again the first one, I can. It's right there. I have a hit. Well, previously it wouldn't be there. So I've just explained not just associativity, also the conflicts. So the reason behind associativity. And you can have, you can keep doing that. You can have H divide by 4 or by 3 or by, you know, these are called ways. And that's what we spoke about last in the previous lecture. So you can keep doing this all the way until your height is just one set. No, one set, and that's called fully associative. So then you will end up having just one set. No, all the way to the end. And each of them has a tag, and you have to compare each tag to when you want to check, is my block in the memory? You have to compare through all the tags. I hope that answers the question. The question in this problem here is, how many accesses do we have to the cache? So this is now cache and connection to C code, so C programming. And we have a scale factor, and we see that this scale factor is moved from memory into a register, and then it's just two registers, and then it's a return. How many accesses do we have to memory here? 1, 2, 3, how many? You had the raised hand.
I had
2. Why 2?
Scale factor and return.
Perfect. Yes, thank you. Yeah. That's perfectly true. So we need the 4-byte value of the scale factor and also the 8-byte value of the return address, right? Okay, so very simple example of just some C code translation to assembly, and then what does that mean in terms of cache and memory accesses? So how many memory accesses do we have? How many times do we actually go to the cache? And hopefully we have a hit. All right, so in this case, we are using this function in a loop. And we are using it size times. Well, the idea in this slide is that we are so unlucky that the value for the address is always this one here, and the value for the scale factor is always that. And if we partition, because we know the size of our cache and the size of our block, if we partition these two values into the address, into tag, index, and offset, we realize that we have the same index. So now imagine we have that for loop, and we have, you know, just these three instructions. We load, we fetch the scale factor, and then we fetch the address. And then we fetch the scale factor, and then the address, with a direct mapped cache. So no associativity. So what does this result in? Well, this will always be in conflict. We will be always fetching the scale factor and then overwrite using the value, but then overwriting it with the return address. And then we want to fetch the scale factor again. It's not there because we just overwrote it. So we have to fetch it again. And then we want to get the return address again, which is the same address, but, well, again, it's not there. So again, we have to fetch it. So we have always a miss. Now, this is, of course, something we picked intentionally, but it is possible that this happens. So if we are in that situation, and there is no intelligent debugger or optimizer that, you know, in the computer will identify, oh, wait, you are in this situation. So that will actually sometimes happen, and things will run really slow. And I'm not really sure how to fix that. Maybe reboot your machine and hope that the random addresses will be different. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm out of time. Thank you for today.